Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Worship the Lord, saints of God.
You are so gentle. So pure and so kind.
Hallelujah.
You shine.
If we could just worship the Lord this evening for a minute.
Like
prepare our hearts to receive God's word. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Can you feel that wonderful peace of the Holy Ghost tonight?
You are.
Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Ask Him to touch you.
Jesus.
Love you, Lord God, and praise your name.
What
thank you, Jesus.
Wonder you are.
Just like that wife needs to hear the husband say, "Honey, I love you."
You
just like that man
so
needs to
hear
that woman, that wife say, "Honey, I love you." Sometimes we got to just look
so
up towards heaven and say,
so
"My Lord, my God, my Savior, Jesus, I love you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, for your love that you give to us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Like the bright morning star.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes and worship Him as they sing this one more time. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
We praise your holy name. We worship you, Lord.
What a wonder you are.
The Bible said there's no other name given to men that thou shalt be saved. That's that wonderful
you
name, Jesus.
Are so gentle.
Can you just call on Him tonight and worship Him and praise Him? Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind.
Praise you, Lord God.
You shine.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Like the bright morning star.
There's nothing greater to see people worship God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Love the Lord tonight? Y'all love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, there's never want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And you should never have a problem with telling somebody, "I love the Lord." Amen. You know, you should never have a problem talking to a brother and say, "I love you." You should never have a problem with that. "I love you, brother." The Bible said, you know, you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. You know, and if you have a love problem with the brethren, then you got a love problem with God. Amen. I love you, Brother Andy. Yeah, I know that. You're easy to say that too. But when you go to that brother that's not walking too good, walking a little disorderly, despitefully, you say, "I love you, brother." Now you're showing some of the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Cedric, good to have you with us this evening. Got any questions about our ministry? None at all. I bet you I could preach for 15 minutes, put more questions in, and, you know, and then I could ask you some questions. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you ever been to heaven? Have you been to heaven before? No?
Heavenly places.
Okay, heavenly places. You ever been to hell before?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to do that to you, brother. I'm just... Yeah, I've been to both places, man. And you know, our Lord, he's been in wherever your height or whatever the depth, he's been there. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions when we talk about heaven, when we talk about hell. A lot of misconceptions. A lot of people have their own ideas, their own theology on what they think heaven is. You know, and even the scriptures, and hear me out, listen to me very closely. The scriptures could sound like they contradict themselves on subject matter of such. Come on now. You know, when it talks about heaven, how many of you have read the part that there's no male nor female there? Has anybody ever read that in the Bible? Come on now, is that right? But then yet we go over and we talk about that he saw a mystery in heaven and he saw a woman in travail to have a child there. And there's no marriage or given to marriage in there. But here's a woman in heaven in travail to bring forth a child. And there was a red dragon there to devour the child as soon as it was born. Or you say, well, what are you doing, preacher? I'm creating questions for Cedric. I'm just talking to you. Is that all right? Amen. Sometimes we just need to fellowship. Maybe just talk a little bit about the word, about the things of God. And I can tell you that when you're speaking of the no male nor female, no marriage and given marriage, you're speaking of the third heaven. We read in the Bible, he said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. If brother told me a man come in here and he said, well, this is my third wife. That means he had a first wife and a second wife. Is that right? So if you have a third wife, that means you had a first, second, right? That's pretty simple, right? So if I got a third heaven, that means I got a first and second heaven. Is that correct? Amen. Have to be. There's no way around that. So the Bible's not contradictive at all if you understand dimensions of the Word of God and of the Bible. Correct? So the thing is that there's people that have given their life to find contradiction of the Bible. But if they were spiritual, they would find that there is no contradictions. Right? But they're not spiritual, so they take things out of context to make it sound like it contradicts itself. So the thing is if there's no male nor female there, and there's a woman there in travail, she was in the second heaven, having to do with this realm that we're in right now, because it's the transformation realm. It's the realm where the blood life's at and the warfare's at. That's the second heaven. To go from the first heaven, you go through the second heaven to get into the third heaven. The doors open in the third heaven. Amen? So the thing is that when the devil was cast out into the earth, he climbed back up into the second heaven, trying to get back into the third heaven. This is where the travail and the fight's at. You see, sometimes people don't understand. See, if people had the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things they wouldn't question the preacher about. But see, people continually question the preacher about things. Well, what's wrong with this, Brother Ron? Why? Because see, things are very allegoric. Does everybody in here pretty much understand what allegories are? This world that we see is very allegoric to the invisible world. The Bible teaches that the things that are eternal are invisible. The eternal things are invisible. But the temporal things, the Bible says, are visible. So we got invisible dominions, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions. We got invisible powers and principalities. And we got visible powers and principalities. Now I could take you into the Bible. If anybody questions me on it, raise your hand and I'll pull up a scripture and I'll get it up there on the wall. But this is everything I've said so far is biblical. The Bible talks about powers and principalities and powers. And it talks again about visible and invisible. Well, the thing is what world do you understand? There's a lot of religious people that understand the second heaven and they understand the visible powers. And they understand the manifestation of the invisible powers in the visible. Now let me tell you, I'm visible. This man that you see that's visible is temporal. It's appointed of man to go back to the dust, back to corruption. That's the visible. But there is an invisible spirit that lives in me that if I fell over here and died right now to what you call death, I can't die. It's impossible for me to die. But if I fell over and collapsed up here and my heart quit and breath went out, biblically speaking, I've got Bible for this, would be considered sleep, because I'm a son of God. Son of God's passed from death unto life. The last enemy of God to be abolished was death. I got Bible for all this. Like I said, anytime you question me, just stick up your hand and I'll give you a Bible for any aspect of what I'm saying here tonight. So I tell you that you're looking at the visible part that's temporal. All right? But the Bible said that, you know, I'm a son of God. Right? Beloved, now you are the sons of God. So I'm a son of God. The Bible goes on to teach that the world doesn't see us of what we already are. What's the world see me as? They see me as a man. They see me as some fat dude. You know, who do you think you are? I'm just as good as you. I know as much as you. And they say, you know a lot more. Let me tell you, this guy esteems you greater than him. Because that's what my Bible commands me to do. But on the other hand, you're looking at me invisible. But Jesus said this to the brethren while they was there talking, just like I'm talking. He said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Though you have eyes, but they're looking at him. What are you trying to say? You see, he was speaking about eyesight to see beyond the veil of man into the invisible dominion. Well, if it's invisible, who sees it? God and the sons of God. Because we have eyes to see. So now we're talking about rending the veil between carnal eyesight, natural eyesight, and spiritual eyesight. Paul made the statement. He said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you carnal. What is he saying there? He says, you think like a man. You're carnal minded. But he said, I want to speak to you as unto spirituals. In other words, I want you to think like a son of God. I don't want you to think like a man. A man thinks unto death, but a son of God thinks unto life. Man is negative. A son of God is positive. Man is natural, carnal, temporal, appointed to corruption. Sons of God are appointed unto eternal life. Hid away, sealed in. Nothing can be laid to their charge. So we got to rend the veil between these two men. So I've got an inner man and outer man. I'm all in the Bible so far. I haven't violated the scriptures nowhere. I got an inner man, I got an outer man. I make myself twain. Jesus said, I make myself twain, both Lord and Christ, both son of man, both son of God. Well, wait a minute. You say, it's talking about Jesus. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. How many read your Bible? Said they're sick and afflicted among you. How many read the Bible? Why are they sick and afflicted among us? Exactly. Did everybody hear what he said? They failed to discern the body of Christ. They failed to discern the body of Christ. The Bible says that there's many antichrists among us. Anybody read that? Many antichrists among us. Many antichrists among us. Many antichrists among us. 1 John 4. Many antichrists among us. Many antichrists among us. Okay, the Bible goes on to say that if you do not believe that God is in the flesh, if you don't believe that God is in the flesh, you're antichrist. Someone said, well, Brother Rob, you've taught us these things. I said, I'm going to continue on until you believe them. A lot of times people have an intellectual, but you got to believe it. The Bible said that you, talking about you, the Bible said that you died like men because of a lack of knowledge. I can't die. Listen, I passed from death to life. It's impossible for me to die. You can pull your .38 out and cap me, blast my blood all over this place and everything, and my spirit is with the Lord. The Bible said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, how can you call that death? I'm a son of God. I've got an eternal quickening spirit living and dwelling within this body. And the purpose I'm in this earth is to bring good news and glad tidings to you. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Anybody read that in the Bible? We're ambassadors for Christ. What's the purpose of an ambassador? It means you're not of this world, that you're of another place. I'm not of America. I'm not of this world. I'm from Christ. I'm from heaven. Okay? You say, well, you were born just like me. They said the same thing to Jesus. When Jesus walked among men, this is what they said. You're a mere man making yourself to be God. Do you remember that in the Bible? Anybody else read that in the Bible? When Jesus come along, he said, hey. Jesus asked him, wait a minute, man. Y'all taking stones up to stone me? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'll read it to you if you want. Like I said, if you think I'm out of the Bible, just raise your hand and I'll get the scripture. I'll put it right there on that board. But Jesus comes up and they say, hey. He said, wait. What you taking up them stones to stone me for? For what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they said, oh no, not for the good works that you've done, but you're a mere man making yourself to be God. Does anybody remember that in the Gospels? I preach this stuff often. I don't complain about being repetitive. I'm going to keep on preaching it. You're going to keep on hearing about it. And one day it's going to birth in your spirit. Okay? So, you know, it's like, they said, no, no, not because of that, but because you're God. What did Jesus reply? He said, but isn't it also written that you're God's? That's what Jesus said. So where are you going to find that in the Bible? Psalms 82. It says that you are gods, but you die like men from a lack of knowledge. So what is my obligation to come to you as a man? How many men we got in here tonight? How many sisters we got in here tonight? How many people from mankind do we have in here tonight? What are the rest of you? Huh? How many people that are not gorillas in here? Raise your hand if you're a gorilla. Okay. If you're a gorilla, raise your hand. Okay, if you're part of mankind, raise your hand. Okay. All right. That was in your first birth. How many of you are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Okay. So I have a father. Now, naturally speaking, as a man, I got a different father than John's father. But seeing I got a father, some of you know my father. Me and John had different fathers. But then yet, by speaking after sonship as a child of God, we got the same father. We got the same heavenly father. And our spirit cries, Abba, Father, to our heavenly father. Okay? Brother Cedric, he's a different color than I am. But we share the same father. If he's a born-again child of God, we got the same father. Amen? That's right, huh? Praise God. Okay, so now we're rending veils here. So, naturally speaking, Cedric's daddy's different than my daddy. But spiritually speaking, we got the same father. So we're birthed after another dimension, another realm. Right? Okay, now, for a natural birth to take place, a man and woman have to become married, right? The proper way, biblical way. I know people shack up and do things. They bring children in the world. And the Bible refers to some of them bastard children. And the Bible speaks in the Old Testament, bastard children can't enter into the congregation, thus and us. Well, that's an allegory or a revelation, we might say, of the heavens. If you're a bastard child, you ain't going to make it into the kingdom of God. What do you mean, Brother Rob? You don't know who your father is. I know who my father is. Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. He's your brother. You're exactly right. He's my brother. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. The Bible says this about Jesus. It said he's the firstborn of what?
Many brothers.
Exactly. I like to hear the word come back to me. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Okay, so I'm his brother. You said, well, you said he's your father. Well, Jesus said this when he walked among men in a body just like you. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, when you know the Father, you know me. Come on now. Oh, but wait, he's the Son of God. Oh, sure he is. He is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. But he's also the Father. And you say, you don't have no Bible for that. Wait a minute. I don't have no Bible for that? And he says, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. He said, how can you say? In the Gospel of John, he said, how can you say that you don't know the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. And then we go over to 1 John 5. It said, the Father, the Word was made flesh. God came in the Word made flesh. Now we're talking the Son, the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It said that these are three persons. Did it say that in 1 John? Did it say that anywhere in the Bible? Absolutely not. It doesn't say that nowhere in the Bible, brethren. See, what are you trying to do, convert me? Absolutely not. I'm trying to teach you what the Bible says. There's all these people split up because they don't know their Bibles. They're getting trained under a Trinitarian, so they're Trinitarian, but they don't understand the Bible. They get trained as a oneness, and they say, I'm oneness, but they don't understand the Bible. You see? And the thing is they both have doctrinal truths, but they both have doctrinal errors. So what are you, smarter than them? Absolutely not. Some of them are theologians. Some of them are masters of theology. But it don't matter. They're devils. Some of them got devils. Jesus sat and was spit upon and smacked across the face, beard plucked and crucified by some theologians. Come on now. He was crucified and killed by the most highest sect of religious people in order of that day and hour. You say it was the Romans killed him. They just orchestrated something to keep peace among the Jews. The Jews were rioting, and he washed his hands and said, I find no fault with this man. But since on this day that you have your holiday, you know, you choose you this day, you're going to free one and the other one will be put to death. And they said, give us Barabbas. They said, give me the murderer. Give me the thief and take the Son of God. Take this eternal of all creation and put him to death. Come on now. So we got to stay with the Bible. Now, this was the most highest sect of people in the time and the day, the most religious order ever, this Sanhedrin, take and do this very thing. Why? Because they got polished in their religious ways, and when God himself came and walked among them, they didn't see him. And this, I have this problem on a daily basis, brethren, dealing with people. They've got a religious mind, a religious order, a religious thought that's contrary to the scriptures and the word. And you try to speak to them and you try to talk to them and they sit there and reason in their heart and their spirit against you just like they've done Jesus. If they've done this to Jesus and the highest religious order in his day crucified him and put him to death, what do I expect? The Bible said they hated him first and they're going to hate you also. I have people that hate me. I'm telling you, they hate me and they have no reason to hate me. The only reason they hate me because I bring the word to them. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, there was a time, you know, there was a time that you would have plucked your eyes out for me, he said. But he said, now you want to kill me because I brought the truth to you. Amen? What is Brother Rob's purpose? My purpose is to edify, educate, train, teach, exhort, and build up the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. That's my calling. And the thing is doing so, and many times I've got to bring a sword out and rend the veil of the flesh of a man and start weeding out the things that are destroying, the things that are killing, the things that are separating them from the mind of Christ. I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. I mean, you take young men, and they'll reason against me and challenge me in the scriptures. Little tiny fellas, 15, 16 years old, and they'll sit there and challenge you. Well, who do you think you are? What makes you think you know so much? What makes you think I don't know as much as you? It ain't about who knows more. It's about following the leading of the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God. Now, the thing is it's very easy to tell if a man is truly led by the Spirit of God. They can have a lot of religious things going on in their life. They could say a lot of things that are very accurate and very encouraging. But you could tell the Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. Brethren, I have ministers that come. They visit with me. And preachers and things. And I'm on the telephone for hours and upon hours and upon hours and upon hours with preachers almost on a daily basis. And I listen to their conversations. I listen to the things coming forth from their hearts. I listen to the things coming forth from their spirit. And they're wonderful people and wonderful men. But I find a lot of traditions and a lot of things that doesn't have a biblical strength or a biblical backing. But then yet, there's traditions of the elders that we got to be careful with. We got to be cautious with. I have some people upset with me because they think I preach against facial hair. Well, the thing is there's a revelation, there's a doctrine and understanding, but have you ever heard me put anybody in hell because of facial hair? I got two guys sitting there with beards, you know, and you're on your way to hell. No, yeah. But you see, am I against facial hair? Absolutely not. I'd be foolish. Somebody, the first thing they're going to say to me, say, well, you know, Jesus had a beard. And I said, yeah, he was crucified too. Well, if he had a beard, why can't I have a beard? You see, and I wasn't even planning on going there, but I'm saying, if he had a beard, why can't I have a beard? The Bible said, what image did he come in? The image of sin. Now, we're talking about Jesus. It said that he came in the image of sin. What did Jesus do with the image of sin? What did he do with it? He took it to the cross and it was crucified. How many of you read your Bibles? What happened when he appeared? How about the ones that walked with him every single day when he came back forth in the resurrection? They didn't recognize him. Does anybody know why? Because he was shaven. Ah! No, come on now. And that's, you know what? I'm laughing a little bit, but there's the truth. I'm laughing a little bit with you. It's much greater than that. But there's a truth there. We go to Old Testament. What is the Old Testament? Shadows. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible says it was the shadows of the things to come. Joseph, when he got thrown in the dungeon, had to do with Jesus going into hell. He grew out his whiskers. Got all grown out. It said they cleaned him up and shaved him when he came back forward and came out. You remember that? What did that show? Why did it show that? Because we understand the revelation and the allegories of what the Bible's saying. Do I think a man's sinning to have hair on his face? No. Do I think it's going to put a man in hell? Absolutely not. Then why would you even mention it? Because I teach and preach allegories and types and shadows, but I don't teach we follow him. We're sons of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. So the thing is, then, but in our brotherhood and in the groups and the things that we've come forth from, the men chose not to. The Bible said that Jacob was a smooth man. And Esau, we know about the struggles with Jacob and Esau, and it shows a warfare, shows a travail between the inner man and the outer man, between light and darkness, all these things. One was hairy, one was smooth. Why? Why is that? Was my intentions to preach on beards because I got two men sitting here with beards tonight? Absolutely not, but I'm just teaching allegories. Do I think these two men are lost going to hell because they have beards? Absolutely not. But we teach allegories. We teach what they have to do with and what they mean. So, you know, then people, I had some people blasting me. They're saying, man, you know, Brother Rob, he got no right. He's got no Bible for preaching against. How many, I don't preach against it, but I teach revelation and I teach allegories. Right? That's what I do. I wear sunglasses when I'm out in the things for protection of my eyes. But there's an allegory, seeing through a glass darkly. The Bible said you see through a glass darkly. Brother Pike wouldn't wear sunglasses because of that. So maybe you shouldn't, Brother Rob. You know, maybe you shouldn't preach against some of the things you preach against, you're going to do it all. Well, I'm just telling you what the great man of God said. He said, I'm glad to see you wearing them glasses, because he goes, I've ruined my eyes because of the allegories of it. He said, I put myself in a prison. So I still teach allegories. I backed off on them a whole lot, but I still teach them. But we got to teach them to understand the revelation. You could teach it and separate from people. Well, this guy, this right, he ain't right because of this or that and that. You need to be led by the Spirit. If a man ain't right, it's because you discerned the Spirit and he ain't right. That's not because of the color of the car he drives or because he's got facial hair on. But many times those things do show up things. They show up usually in our, things have changed so much in our culture and things. But, you know, there was a time that, you know, it's always the mountain man, the worldly man, the rugged man, you know, was the ones that usually had the big whiskers and stuff, you know, those kind of things. But usually in legislation and in people that showed dignity or dignitaries, they usually weren't. You say, well, what about Jesus? And I said, yes, he took that image to the cross. When he resurrected, he was in a different form. He resurrected in a different form. The ones that knew him walked, the two of the brethren that knew him and stuff, he's walking with him and they didn't know who he was until their heart burned within him. Another one until they saw the nail prints in his hands. Now the thing is, brethren, in our lives, in the way that we're moving and walking and different kind of thing, God's orchestrating. He's moving. He's having his way in your life, in my life. He's having his way in the many-membered body. But then yet there's divisions. I'm telling you, if I wanted to go into the revelation of the Pentecostal movement, forget about the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of God, and all, I'm just in the Pentecostal. You know how many divisions there are in there in different things? And we find the people that were indoctrinated in the same mind and the same light, and they're all banging heads and scattered. And they're all in disagreement. People are going in all different kinds of directions. People challenging, people chiding. So as we're talking tonight, we're trying to rend some veils of understanding. We're talking about the resurrection of the Lord coming in another form. We're talking about seeing him. The people that walked with him didn't understand. Amen? People don't understand us today. We're the sons of God. If he was the firstborn of many brethren, and you say, well, he was God. Well, I'm God. You say, oh, you're a cult. You're wrong there. I'm a son of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Bible does say this, Brother Cedric. It said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. So you do me wrong, you do Jesus wrong. I do Brother Cedric wrong, I do Jesus wrong. Cedric's a son of God, a child of the God. If I do him wrong, it's no different doing Jesus wrong. If I spit in his face, it's no different spitting in the face of the Lord. He said, I was in prison, and you visited me not. And he said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you're doing to me. And we got to believe the word. How many are going to stay with the word and believe the word? Okay, so we got to be careful. Now, I said what the Bible says. They're sick and afflicted among you. Why? Because they don't discern the body of the Lord. So they mistreat you and do you wrong. They bring sickness to themselves, suffering to themselves, damnation to themselves, judgment to themselves. So, what are you saying? You see, I'm saying what the Bible says. We got to be careful how we treat one another because we're sons of God. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. There's only one person going to make it into heaven. One. One only. Just one. That's Jesus. So the only way that you have a chance to make it in is being part of his many-membered body. Becoming one with him. The Bible said that we're predestined. How many believe in predestination? I do. We're predestined how and where? In him, in Jesus, and Jesus alone. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus and Jesus only. So we get into doctrine. We get into doctrine of him. Jesus said this, if you preach any other word than what I preach, let him be accursed. How many believe that the Catholic Church is preaching the same word that Jesus preached? No, they're not. So what does it mean they're cursed? What does it mean to be cursed? It means you're on your way to hell. You're cursed. It's a curse. There's either a blessing or there's either a curse. And you say, what are you picking on the Catholics for? Can we go on to the Baptists? Can we go on to the Methodists? Can we go on to the Church of God? Can we go on to the Assemblies of God? And you say, well, brother, be careful. I'm very careful to preach the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can't say they're all wrong. Well, I can say this, that by the grace of God, he'll lead them into all truth. How many believe that God's three persons in here tonight? You believe that. Does anybody else believe that? You believe that. Does anybody else believe that? Okay, I got two people out of however how many's here tonight that believe God is three persons. Now I'll put the burden of proof on you guys. Do you have any Bible for that? That's what you've been taught through Catholicism. The Catholic Church taught that. And then the brethren that came out of that, it comes through Catholicism in 321 AD in the Nicene Council. There was a man before that, previous to the Nicene Council, named Tertullian. He's the one that brought in a three-person God. Now here's the thing. You all believe what 90% of the church world believes, a three-person God. But you see, it doesn't matter if 90% of the church believes that. I got to preach the Bible. So I put the burden of proof on two men here tonight. I say, can you show me? I said, I'll take the burden of proof and I'll show you Bible. The thing is there's no biblical evidence or anything in the Bible that teaches a three-person God. Now we got first, second, third heaven. We got body, soul, spirit. We got Father, Word, Holy Ghost. We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It said these three are one. Now, the thing is, I've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. How many persons am I? How many persons am I? Wait one more time. How many persons am I? So I got a spirit, and when my spirit leaves my body, the body's dead. Okay, now, the Bible said the Word made flesh. Now let's talk about the person of God. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Bible now. Listen to me. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. That's your person of God. Okay, we're part of a many-membered body. Now, let me tell you where many Trinitarians will go to Scripture to try to prove to you that God's a three-person God. They'll say, well, the Bible says that when the man and woman marry, that they become one in the flesh. Anybody read that before? That's Bible now. Okay, so my wife is married to me, but we become one in the flesh. But Paul said this, he said, I show you a mystery. Anybody know what a mystery is? What is a mystery? A secret. Okay, he said, I show you a mystery. What does the Bible call me if I'm a son of God? We're stewards of the mysteries. Okay, we're stewards of the mysteries. Now we need to get into the mysteries of God to understand and to unveil this. Listen, Brother Cedric, I got many friends that I love that call themselves Trinitarians. Okay, there's no Bible word for the word Trinitarian. Now, I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now, there's some oneness people that find fault with me because I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Okay, these three are one. Now, but let's talk about person. Now, I'm a person. How many of you know what the word etymology means? Etymology is the study of a word. Okay, how many know that the word gay has gone through an etymology? Does anybody agree with that or disagree? Everybody in agreement. The word gay, see, I'm gay. Not one of them woo-hoo gays, but I'm happy guy. Okay, I'm not a fag or a queer or whatever. I'm just, you know, defining here. But you see, because the word, the etymology of the word gay, the etymology means the study of a word, okay? Because of the etymology of this word gay, I can't tell people I'm gay no more. Correct? I can't do that no more. But the word person, in the beginning, before Christology and Catholicism, okay, the study of Christ and Catholicism, because of that, the word has gone through a metamorphosis, so to speak, or a change. But the original rendering of the word person is something that's temporal, like I'm a temporal man, person, something seen, something visible. How many know that the Bible says that the Father is invisible? Has anybody read that in the Bible? It's in there. Now, is a person invisible? Start out with that question. Brother Cedric, do you think a person's invisible? Okay, no. He said no. Your name is, Brother Ian. Do you believe a person's invisible? Okay, now. So if we say that God is three persons, then we're saying that the Father's a person, the Son's a person, and the Holy Ghost is a person. Is that correct? That's the only way we could come up with God being three persons. I'm not trying to hurt nobody or beat nobody up here. I'm not trying to convert nobody. You say, what are you going to try to make me from a Trinitarian oneness? Well, I'm not a oneness, and onenesses don't like what I teach, and Trinitarians don't like it. But we got to stay with the Bible. Like I said, question me on the scriptures or on where. Did you not find that? 2 Corinthians 4:18. Yeah, that's it. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, a person is something that's carnal, temporal, mortal. The original definition of it, mortal and mortality, came with person. Now, Jesus, the Bible said, being the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ was the person of God. The Father invisible, no man has seen. Now, I can take you in the script, show you that. The Father's invisible, no man has seen. But when Jesus walked among them, he asked him, he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Jesus was the manifestation of the Father. So what is the difference between Jesus and the Father? Why do we have three? We got the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They're not three persons. But let's talk about me for a minute. Created in his image, in his likeness. So now, the image that you see is the image of sin. Jesus came in the image of sin. But now there was a quickening spirit that was living in Jesus. He said the same spirit, this is what Jesus said now. He said the same spirit that dwelleth in me shall dwelleth in you. And change you from mortal to immortal. Okay, now there's a difference between a mortal and an immortal. Immortal's eternal, mortal's temporal. Okay, now, Jesus, he says, in one place he said he made himself twain. Twain means two, both Son of Man, Son of God. But now we're talking three. Now, when Jesus screamed out on the cross, what did he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because there was a man, the spirit of a man, dwelling there, and the Spirit of God separated him. The man cried out and took the full load and the full penalty of sin. Jesus was without sin, the Bible said, but he took your sins and iniquities upon himself at Calvary. And at that very moment of time when he cried out, then death was abolished because the Spirit come forth. He went into hell and he came forth, suffered not the Holy One to see corruption. He came forth. Now, how many believe, now I'm going to say something, I'll throw a little curve. How many believe that God died on the cross? We can't believe that. The Son of Man died on the cross. God's eternal. He is the Prince of Life. God cannot lie. God cannot die. Okay? When Jesus was here, he walked among men and they asked him. They said, he said, I was before Abraham. Anybody ever read that? He says before, and they said, wait a minute, you're only 30-some years old and Abraham was so many hundreds of years, they didn't understand him. Because he was the Ancient of Days. He was the creator of all things. Jesus made this statement. All things were created by him. Well, how could they have been created by him? Because he was there in the very beginning. It said, let us make man in our image. Who's the us? Okay.
He said, let us.
Exactly.
God had to be talking about somebody else when he said, let us.
I agree. But you're trying to tell me the us's are persons.
The us had to be somebody with God. Now he said, let us.
I agree. I'm teaching right now. Father, Word, Holy Ghost.
Okay, and then when he was tempted when Jesus was tempted, he went through three temptations.
Okay.
One for the flesh.
Okay.
One for the spirit, and one in the soul.
Okay.
So there had to be three of something in him.
Okay, now wait a minute. You said three of something in him, but we're talking about three-person God. That's what we're talking about. I'm teaching Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual, body, soul, spirit, first, second, third heaven. Okay, so I'm teaching three here.
There had to be the Father, Son, and the Spirit.
Okay.
And one.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. Is the Father a person? Okay.
Yeah, that all three of them is a person. When you're talking to the Holy Ghost,
okay. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, let me help you. Good, I appreciate your input. Now listen. The Holy Ghost, a person. Where's this person at right now?
He's with us.
He's with us or in us?
He's in us.
Okay, he's in us. Okay, now, is that man sitting next to you a person? I want him to go inside you right now.
No, he can't
do that. No. Why? Okay, we're in agreement. Now listen, but your terminology is in biblical error. Because a person is something temporal. God's Spirit's eternal. Okay? The Son of Man was temporal. The Son of God is eternal.
Amen. That's okay. Why he said, if you believe in me, the Scripture said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life.
Right.
That means that if you believe in me, I will give you my life. And
okay.
I'll give you my life.
Okay.
And you, my life can bring you from the Old Testament into the New Testament.
Okay.
That's the way eternal life does. It carries your spirit to back to Moses.
How many persons are you, Brother Cedric?
Three.
You're three persons.
Body, soul, and spirit.
Okay, now, okay, stop.
All three of them works in me.
Okay, I agree with that. I got a body, soul, spirit. It said, make your body, soul, and spirit blameless. Okay? So we're going to say that we could use the word triune here, whatever helps you. But okay, but I have a body, soul, spirit, but I'm not three persons. I'm one person. When my spirit leaves this body, the body is numbered as death. The body said, when the spirit leaves the body is dead. That's the person part. The person part is the carrier of the spirit, but there's no life in that thing without the spirit. When you remove the spirit, there's no life there. Okay, so now we're going to talk about Jesus. Okay, he was the person of God, but the life of that personage was the Father. You couldn't separate them. Without the Father, there was no life there. Now, what is the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Now, are we going to have four persons? Absolutely not. Okay. Okay, they are, but then yet, why did they change the description? There's a reason. I know why. The Holy Spirit was the Spirit of the Father that had never been personified. The word person is a form of the word personification. When you take the Spirit of God and put it in a person, Jesus Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. It was the first person of God. It was the first person in a temporal form. When that spirit left because the Holy Spirit had been personified, Jesus said, the same spirit that dwells in me shall dwell in your mortal body. That's Bible. So when the spirit that Jesus was spoke about, the Holy Spirit dwelled within him. But when that spirit came out of him, it was no longer the Holy Spirit because it had been personified. Once it had been personified in the person of God, Jesus Christ, when it came forth, it was the ghost now. Same spirit. But now the identity changed to ghost. The Holy Ghost now comes to you and I as the many-member body and it dwells within us. It is no longer a person. It is the Spirit of God that dwelled within the Son, Jesus Christ, and then it left and now it dwells within me. And that is the same Spirit that was in Jesus walking among men today. So the same Spirit that spoke through Jesus, spoke in Jesus, now dwells and lives within the many-membered body, in you, within me. That is not a person. The Holy Ghost is a spirit that dwells within us today. We got body, soul, and spirit. They're not three persons. It is the Father's invisible, no man has ever seen. The only time man had seen the Father when it had personified, when it came into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, there's your person. When the Spirit came out of the person went back to temporal, back to mortal, back to dust, but he suffered him not to see corruption when he came forth in the resurrection. That's what you and I are, the children of the resurrection. You see, the doctrine that you're speaking of is through the realms of the Catholic Church, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of God, the Assemblies of God. Most all of our Protestant people have accepted that doctrine when they brought it forth with them. So the thing is for your terminology's sake, the Holy Ghost is not a person, and you're not three persons. You're one person. When your spirit leaves your body, it is no longer a person, brother. Person's temporal. It is an eternal spirit that is going to dwell with God through all of eternity, or it'll have to be pointed. Hell was not created for man, but it was created for the fallen spirits. And if your spirit intertwined with the spirit of the Antichrist, then your destiny in eternity would be damnation and hell. But if it's in Christ, that means you become one with Jesus Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Part of the many-membered body of Jesus Christ. And that will be the part that's eternal, that's living forever. We're not banging heads here, brother. I'm not chiding, but I'm a teacher, brother. Now, so the Bible said we don't pierce each other through. We see eye to eye. We don't break ranks. So we got to come into doctrine together. So the thing is, do I have a motive in this? Am I trying to convert you to get you to be a member of this church? Absolutely not, brother. That's not my intentions here. My intention is to fellowship you in the scriptures and in the word of God. Now, the doctrine that you're in, you've got a lot of people that back you in that. The people that teach the Godhead, according to biblical revelation, are a very small flock. It's few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. But with what you're telling me, a three-person God, you've got millions of Catholics that teach that. The Jews don't teach that. The Muslims don't teach that. Nor do the apostles. We go over to Matthew 28, and Jesus, the final commission that he gave, this great commission. And he said, go into all the world preaching the gospel. And he said, baptizing them in what name? Okay, what name is that? I just ask you, what name is that? Well, I am too. By Matthew 28:19, he commanded them. He said, go into all the world baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. What is that name? I'm asking you that. Are you a father? Do you have children? You're a father. How about the guy sitting next to you? You know him very well, Brother Ed? You know his children? He knows John. So you know he's a father, right? The guy sitting in front of you, this guy over here is a father. That guy's 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 a father. I'm a father. No authority in father. Zero authority in father. He said, go into all the world baptizing them in the name of the Father. So I got to know that name. The name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. Now let me tell you some Bible here. If I take a man to remit his sins, I'm going to do it like the apostles done it. Do you believe in the doctrine of the apostles? Book of Acts. Okay, now, if I opened up and put Matthew 28:19 up there, take you back to verse 17, and it says in verse 17, it talks about the 11 were there. That's a very important thing. Now, what were the 11? They were his disciples. What does that mean? They were disciplined and trained in his doctrine. Okay, the Bible says in Matthew 20:17, it said that these 11 were there. The 11 were there. Okay, so that's very important to know. They were there, and he said, go into all the world, but he said there were some there that doubted. Said there were 11, but there were some there that doubted. Jesus spoke in a veil, but he knew his disciples were in doctrine and knew what he was talking about. He said, go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do you know that Peter was one of those seven, right? Or 11, I mean. Okay, so now we go over to the book of Acts. And Peter was there, And the Holy Ghost came upon them. You remember the story, right? And they were all there, and you heard people speaking in the native tongue. You know, said, man, these are these different sect of people, but they're speaking in their own language, and they were amazed and astonished of what they were witnessing and seeing. But what did Peter say? When they asked him, he said, you know, the same Lord Jesus Christ in which you all crucified. That's on down in a different part of Acts, but in Acts 2nd chapter, he said, to be baptized in the name, he said this, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Here's what the Father said, New Testament doctrine. The Father said he was going to send the Son in whose name? I'm asking you. Okay, he said he's going to send him in his name. So the Father sent his Son in his name. Okay, so then I say, the name of the Son is Jesus, right? Now, Jesus said this, that he was going to send the Holy Ghost. And how did Jesus say he was going to send the Holy Ghost? He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, for I could send one back, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going to send him in my name. So what is the name of the Father? Jesus. What is the name of the Son? Jesus. And what is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Now, you say, brother, what, you're fishing deep here. No, I'm not. Because we're going to stay with the scriptures. They all said that. The Father said, I'm sending my name. Jesus said, I'm sending my name. I could put all those scriptures on the board for you right now. But that's Bible. And then we find the Bible that says this. The remission of sin comes in no other name than what? Jesus. That's the name. The Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved except Jesus. That's it. Now, if I go to take a man down to the water hole to baptize him, and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost, his sins are not remitted. No authority. The Bible said there's no other name. Now, are you Catholic? Okay. I wanted to make sure before I made this next thing. Church of God. I used to be that. That's great. Now, I know your doctrine very well now. Okay, but let me go on. I was Church of God myself, and I know the difference. You know, one's from one part, another one from over here, another part. It's great. You're my brother. I love you. No problem here. I'm just teaching doctrine. Okay? So we speak about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. We talk about the name. Jesus said he was going to send the Holy Ghost to comfort in my name. Now, I say this oftentimes. Let's say that my son showed up here, and they got a hardware store up here at the corner. I do have an account there. But my son shows up here, and he goes up to the hardware store. And I said, son, go up there, and I want you to pick up some lumber for me. He goes up the counter and said, put on my father's account. And he starts to go out the door. Hey, wait a minute. Who are you? Who's your father? And he says, oh, Brother Rob Coons, the pastor out there at Christian. Oh, okay. The authority now. It had to be a name. The name Father has no authority and no power. Zero. You're a father, brother. I can't remit sins in your name. I can't cast out devils in your name, Father. I can't cast out devils in the name of Son. But the name, there's a name back in that card, brother.
That's your name.
That's my...
We don't go to your name. We just, the machine have took the thing, and I can get it. You're not even mentioned.
Okay, but hold on a second. Now, if you go up there to my account up there, it has nothing to do with the card. I got an account up here at the hardware store, and you could walk in there and say, hey, my pastor, Brother Rob Coons, sent me up here to pick up some stuff. Now, if you spoke a name, they know who that is. But if you say, put it on my father's account, what are they going to say?
Yeah, but who looks at the name?
Who looks at the name? The Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be named. And it says that we must pray in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no way that he's the mediator between God and man. There is no way for me to speak and have my prayers heard in heaven unless I go through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the name above all names. Every tongue, every knee shall bow at the name Jesus Christ. There's no other name. What do you mean? What is there in a name? It's the name. When you look in the book of life, it's the name, brother. It is the name that set me apart, the name that saved me and set me free. Amen. There is no other name given among men. We can't deny the name. That's what Catholicism's done. That's what the Catholic priest has done. That's the mother of harlots. The Protestant church are the daughters of the whore. Sorry. Now, we got to believe the name. There's no other name given among men. It's Jesus. That's the name we cast out devils with. How do you pray? In Jesus' name, don't you? Okay, but how do you talk to the Heavenly Father? In what name? Who's the mediator that takes your prayer to the Father? Okay. Who's the mediator between God and man? Bible. I'm just asking a Bible question. Jesus. So we're in agreement on that. Can there anything take me to the throne of God other than him? No. So it's Jesus. He's the way, right? He's the truth, right? He's the life. Bible. All men are liars, but let his name be true, right? Bible, correct? Okay, so Jesus is my God. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my salvation. He is my Savior. He is the Prince of Life. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Creator of all things. All things were created by him. All principalities, all powers, all spirits, all dominions, all things were created by him. Jesus was in the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no life outside of Jesus. He is my life. He is my everything. There is no life outside of him. And when you see him, you've seen the Father. When you talk with him, you fellowship the Father. When you walk with him and sup with him, you're fellowshipping the Father. I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. That's what Jesus said. He said, when I come, and he said, and the things that I speak are the Father's will. It's the mind of the Father. It's not here by my will, but the will of the Father. That's the Spirit. The Spirit dwelled within him in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now it comes to you and it comes to me in a many-membered body in measure, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. But it all goes to Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no life. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. Without Jesus, there's no remission of sin. It's Jesus and him alone. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our everything. There's nothing outside of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. It's Jesus and him alone. The thing is what Brother Cedric is saying here, he's accurate and he's right. I'm not disputing, but we're defining. We got to define the word. There's many people that have been trained by the Catholic Church. They don't know that because that's Catholic doctrine. Again, if you study the Nicene Council, you're going to find out where the doctrine of Trinity come from. You understand? Trinity is not a biblical word. I preach Trinity in the perspective of a Father, Word, and a Holy Ghost. I preach more triune or Trinity doctrine than most of what preachers that call themselves Trinity. And the thing is there's been many disputes between great men of God, Brother Cedric, people that are powerful. In the Church of God, there's been many miracles over the years. God, by the grace and by the mercy, I've been to some Church of God camp meetings, brother, where we went through, we was up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning in old Brush Harbor meetings. And I'm talking about the anointing of God, the power of God. I'm talking about people really getting set free. You see, the Church of God isn't my enemy by no means. I'm not trying to say I'm going to try to convert somebody out of the Church of God, but I'm called to define doctrine. That's my calling. I'm a preacher to preachers and a teacher, brother. And the thing is as I said tonight, I said, question me. I got Bible for everything that I'm saying. Amen. But I've got no Bible in defense of a three-person God. I got no Bible to say the Father is a person. The Father is spirit. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said the Father is spirit. The Father is invisible. The Father is no man is seen. That's not a person. A person is something visible. A person is something seen. The Father, the invisible Father, came and dwelled in the Son, in the fullness. Amen. The Ancient of Days, the Creator of all things. When Jesus spoke that way to him, they wanted to kill him. Okay? Jesus was the manifestation of the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily. And then he went, took it to the cross, and it was smitten the image. The Holy Ghost came forth. And when the Holy Ghost came forth, it came to you and I, a many-membered body. And we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not filled with a person. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit that departed out of the labors and the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We've been filled with Spirit. I do not have the person of God living in me. I've got the Holy Ghost of God, God's Spirit living in me. The Bible said, without His Spirit, you're none of His. The only way that you could be born of God is by having His Spirit. Amen. And His Spirit is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, well, you know, I could pray and I could have Jesus as my Savior, the Son of God, but then I don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, sorry. The Bible said, without His Spirit, you're none of His. And you cannot have Jesus without having the Father. And you cannot have the Father without having Jesus. And you cannot have the Holy Ghost without having them all. Amen. You see, it's the Bible said these three are one. That's what the Bible said. Not three persons, Spirit, soul, and body. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. First, second, third heaven. Natural, physical, spiritual. Amen. The Bible said it's that seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. The Bible teaches these things, brethren. So we got to understand, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. I was a sinner in my first birth. That man has been crucified with Christ at Calvary. He no longer lives. Crucified and buried. I come forth as a child of the resurrection. The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. But you see me as a man. You see me as my first birth. You see me as a temporal man. But I say, no, brethren, that man was crucified with Christ, and what you see is a vanity. The Bible said vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's all the things that are temporal and natural. Don't know no man after the flesh. The Bible said know him after the spirit. So what is the spirit that you know man? After the born again, the new creature in Christ, the old things have passed away. All things have become new. I've passed from death unto life. I'm eternal. I cannot die. You see, that's the way a son of God talks. But if I talk to you as a man, it's appointed me to die. It's appointed me to go back to the dust. So do you want me to speak to you as a man? No, that man was crucified and no longer lives. And now the new creature. How's the new creature talk? You see, I got to make myself twain, both son of God and both son of man. You see, the inner quickening spirit is eternal, but the outer mortal is temporal. We just read that on the board. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see, but there will be a day when this body goes through the transfiguration. That's biblical terminology. The Bible teaches that there's a translation. We've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible teaches a transformation. Okay? We talk about the transforming of our mind. I got to transform this whole filthy mind of my first birth, and I got to transform this thing by casting down thoughts and vain imagination, by thinking on the things from above. This is the second heaven to fight, the travail realm. You understand that? Now, I perceive that you know your Bible pretty well, right? Okay, light and darkness can't dwell together, can they? Where's that speaking at? That's speaking of the third heaven. Because He's light, the eternal light. There's no darkness there because light eradicates darkness. As long as the noonday sun is shining, there's no darkness. But when that sun sets, then there's darkness that comes in. So I can't speak that in the realm of a twilight realm, when we start the sun setting and the darkness is coming in, there's an intermingling of light and darkness there. But in the third heaven, there's none. So we got to differentiate those scriptures in understanding that there's a first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. In the third heaven, there is no male nor female. Okay, there's no tears, there's no sorrows, there's no death, there's no shame, there's no sin. Amen, that's the third heaven. Now in the second heaven, it's a travail realm, it's a fight, it's a warfare. That's where the woman was in travail with child to bring forth a child. Who's the woman? Now, Brother Cedric, I could ask you, are you the bride of Christ? I mean, I am. He said, I'm coming back for my bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The whole church teaches that. Church of God, I know your doctrine. They teach that we, the church, are the bride of Christ. That's doctrine. The Baptists believe that. The Church of God teach that. The Church of God of Prophecy teach that. We teach it. We're the bride of Christ. Okay? So we all say we're the bride of Christ. But then yet, on the other hand, I say, beloved, now we are the sons of God. So I say, what are you? Are you the bride or the son? What dimension are you looking in? That's what we got to understand. Now, as a man, Cedric, you're a man. You're flesh. You're masculine. Now, if you get married in that dimension, you need to marry a woman according to the Bible standards. You cannot reproduce your image unless you marry a woman. See, we keep those things fitting and right. Now, there's some women that say they could be preachers. And you know why they say that? Because they say, well, there's no male nor female in the spirit. Have you ever heard that before? And they say that qualifies them to preach the gospel. But that's not what the Bible teaches. But if I could teach, Brother Cedric, that if there's no more now female in the spirit right now as a fleshly man, then that means that, that Brother Ed here could leave Sheila and marry Bob. Well, we know better than that, right? If there's no male or female in the spirit, Ed and Bob could get married. But we know that's perversion, according to an abomination in the Bible. So we got to keep our dimensions in order. That's what I'm saying. So we got a dimension to the first heaven, a dimension to the second heaven, a dimension to the third heaven. The Bible teaches in 1 John 5, again, it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. It said these three are one. And it says water, blood, and spirit. It said these three agree in one. So we got something relative to the water world. We got something relative to the blood world. And we got something relative to the spirit world. Now, if you want to speak by the spirit, the Apostle Paul said, I would like to speak to you on the spirituals. Do you want to speak by blood realm? Or do you want speech by spiritual realm? Jesus Christ was the finishing of the blood dimension. I know you and I are blood men. Somebody cut your arm off and don't stop the bleeding, you're going to bleed to death and you're going to die as a man. But your eternal quickening spirit after Christ will live forever. It'll be present with the Lord when that body falls down dead. So there's a spirit life living within the blood life. The blood life was made pure and clean by the labors of Jesus Christ at Calvary, for God could dwell within that temple, you being the temple of God. But it had to be washed by the blood. There's no bypassing the blood. Jesus brought forth the blood. Without the bloodshed to make you pure and white as snow, this is what you got to come through. But now we're in the spirit realm. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Paul said, I'd like to speak to you on the Spirit. So now we're in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We're no longer atoned by the blood. The blood life changed us and we're birthed through the blood into the Spirit. Now we're led by the Spirit. You know what happens when the children in the Spirit walk disobedient? John the Baptist made a statement. He said, there's one that come after I that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he'll baptize you how? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm a son of God. You know how God purges me now? I could take you over to Hebrews 6 and say, once you've been tasted of these heavenly gifts, been enlightened by this, I'm paraphrasing. We can go over and read it if you want. But it said, once you've been partakers of it, it is impossible. Hebrews 6, 1. Could you put on my Bible here real quick, Brother Chuck? You can put it up on the board. I like these electronic Bibles. Thank you. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptisms. Do you see that word baptisms right there, Brother Cedric? That little thing at the end of it there is what? An S. It means more than one, right? But let's go to the Bible. The Bible said there's one God, one faith, and one baptism. You ever read that? But then here it says baptisms. Let's throw our Bibles away. It's contradicting itself. It says one God, but we say Father, Word, Holy Ghost. One baptism, but we say water, blood, and spirit. Okay, but these three agree in one, and the other ones are one. So we're differentiating. I differentiate Brother Cedric. He's got a body, soul, and a spirit. If your spirit came out of your body, and you just collapsed right there in that pew, do you think these people are going to see your spirit departing? They ain't going to see it, are they? It's invisible. Okay? But you see, you without your spirit, that body's not going to sit here and say, hey, Brother Rob, I enjoyed the service tonight, is it? There's no life in that body without the spirit. Do you realize that there was no life in Jesus without the Father? That's why they're one. You can't separate them. They are one. Father, Word, Holy Ghost, they are one. There's no life outside. But when the Father personified in the fleshly, in the Word made flesh, it made known to man, because man couldn't understand God. They were making golden calves. But God came in the form of a man to bring forth the revelation. When Peter saw beyond the veil, he said, thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. Amen. He said, upon this rock, that revelation, he said, build this church. Amen. It was the revelation that Peter had. When Peter said that, Jesus, no, he fulfilled his purpose on the earth. He changed his course and he went to the cross. Amen. He told him right then, are going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me and crucify me. He told them, he didn't use the term crucify. And he said, what was going to happen? And Peter said, no way. We're not going to let this happen to you, Lord. And he said, get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things of the flesh, because that's what had to happen to the flesh. The flesh had to be crucified. It had to be. That's why the Bible said he came in the image of sin, but he was without sin. He came in that image. Okay, now, so we're differentiating again, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual. Okay, we're differentiating it. So when we go to, again, the scriptures and we say the water, blood, and spirit, now we're over here at the doctrine of baptisms. Father, Word, Holy Ghost, water, blood, spirit. Natural, physical, spiritual, first, second, third heaven. These things all fit. There's a dimension for each one. There's a seed in the water world. If I took an orange seed and I put it in the dirt out there, am I going to get an apple tree? No, I'm going to get an orange tree, right? It's relative to the earth. The seed that goes into the earth is going to come forth. I'm a white man. We have Mexican men, Africans. We've got Germans and everything, right? We know there's different races, different nationalities. If the seed leaves the German man's body, he plants it into an earth. Okay, there's a water seed, the orange, the apple, the peach, you know, the grass seeds, all that's relative to the water world. Now we come into the blood world. We reproduce after our kind. Okay, so when the seed of the man leaves the loins of a man, it's called the blood seed, the semen, the sperm. This is a seed. When it leaves the man, it's planted into the earth. The woman's the earthen vessel, just like you're an earthen vessel, as the man. The seed plants in, it reproduces after its kind. So we got a fulfillment of the water world and a fulfillment of the blood world. So now we go over into the third realm, the spirit. The Bible said this. It said, the seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it goes on to tell why. It's because that seed remaineth in you. What seed is that? It's the seed birth of Christ. That seed has got to come in to us in the spirit. And when we're born again, the Bible said you must be born again. You were born the first time of your daddy. I was born the first time of my father. But then yet I've been born again. I'm born of the spirit. So now we got to find the dimensions and the relativity of this. I've got a spirit within me that cries, Abba, Father. You and I got the same Father. And it's that seed of that Father that lives and dwells in us and keeps us from sin. It's that seed that keeps us, makes us eternal. It's that seed that makes us born of God. I've been born again. I'm born of God. Now we talk about death. Okay? We got some that die. And then we say some are born. Some are born again. So we say, what if you say, Brother Rob, are you born again? I'm born twice. Now I could use that terminology. It isn't biblical terminology. So I'm going to use biblical terminology. I've been born again. But I could say, I've been born twice, right? Would that be proper? Okay, well, the Bible says a second death. What if I say they die again? The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. There's some twice dead. There's no forgiveness in this world or the world come. The second death is separation from God. But there's people that walk among us right now, today, that are living, got breath in their lungs, and their Bible said they're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Why? Because they're twice dead. They've denied God. They've separated themselves from God. They've blasphemed against God, and they have no life in them, and they will never have life in them. There's been a lot of things said here tonight, Brother Cedric, and I know that a person can only draw for so long. You've done very well. You've listened very attentively. And you told me you're a teacher. I see that. I watched your spirit. You've locked in with me and you've drawn. Well, you've been challenged. I'm not trying to say I'm superior than you. I don't feel that way. Brother, you're my brother. I'm the least of all. Amen. But I'm going into doctrine tonight. Amen. By the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of truth. Amen. And I know your doctrine. I used to be a Trinitarian. I was a spirit-filled Trinitarian, okay? And when I came to this understanding, I had to start making some adaptions because the Holy Ghost led me to them. I was questioning, and there was, you know, I was taught the same thing, a three-person God. Three-person God, I believe that, I taught that. I took people to the water hole and I baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I found out that was error. Am I blasting all the Trinitarians? Am I blasting your pastor, the forefathers? No. I'm saying they were like me. They were unlearned. I don't mean that they're ignorant. I don't mean that they don't have the Holy Ghost. God's grace and mercy. Brother, let me tell you something. When I came and got filled with the Spirit of God, I was an ignorant heathen. I wasn't raised up in a church home. You could have come to me after I got filled with the Holy Ghost and said, who built the big boat? Man, I don't know what big boat you're talking about. But I got filled with the power of God. I got washed and cleansed by the blood. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I had been set free. I was born again. I had life, amen, living in me and dwelling in me. I was excited about this new life. I didn't know how I got it. I didn't know why I got it. I know I didn't deserve it, but he found me. He filled me. He set me apart. He loved me. He led me into all truth, led me by his Spirit. But I couldn't have told you who built the boat or what his name was. But the thing is, I wasn't saved by knowledge, brother. I was saved by the Spirit of God, by the love of God, and by his labors at Calvary. And now that I have his Spirit and been filled with the Holy Ghost, he's leading me. He's directing me. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So as I've been on this course and walking and learning and being edified, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. You know, what dimension was I when I was an Assembly of God? What was I? I know God loved me. And I know I heard about Jesus there, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of God started leading me into the truth. I had to separate from them. And that didn't make them better or me worse, but the Bible said two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. Well, I found myself, well, wait a minute, you're baptizing people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I said, according to the Scriptures and according to the Word, we have to do that, but we know what the name is. I was a Trinitarian, but I never prayed in the name of the Father. I cast this devil out of you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. I said, no, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's where the power is at. It's Jesus. He is the life. He is the power. Bible said right there in Matthew 28, where we was at, it said all power. Didn't say some. It didn't say a third of it. You know, Jesus, you get a third. Holy Ghost, you get a third. And the Father gets a third. It didn't say that. It said all power had been given unto him, Jesus. Right there in Matthew 28, Great Commission. And all power. The apostles that were there, then the disciples, the 11, they went forth from there. After they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they went and baptized them in the book of Acts. There ain't one place, Brother Cedric, you go look. You go study this out. There's not one place in the Bible, nowhere, zero, where anybody was baptized in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nowhere, zero. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin every single time. When at the house of Cornelius, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, people that were there were unclean because they weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. They were numbered as unclean. Peter had the vision. He said, don't you call unclean what cleans. The Father, by the bloodshed of Jesus, cleansed the Gentiles. That's why me and you have life. Amen? So now the Spirit of God cleansed them, cleansed you and I. And when Peter went to this household of Cornelius and he seen the Holy Ghost come upon these Gentiles that were numbered unclean, but he had the vision right before then. He said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. That's what had to do with that sheet coming down. He said to him, he said, now that we've seen that God have given them the Spirit, he said, would any forbid these water? They'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues even. And he said, would any forbid these water? Would any forbid these water? And it took and they were baptized in what name?
Jesus.
In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. So that's Bible. You can't find nowhere the one person baptized in the name of the Father. Jesus said there were some unbelievers there. He spoke in a veil. Jesus always spoke in a veil. He wasn't bringing glory to himself. He pointed everything back to the Spirit and to the Father. Amen. I and the Father are one. Amen. Some people that believe in the three-person God, they said, well, when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice that came from heaven. I say, yeah, and amen. But that don't mean there was a person up there on a bullhorn. I had another man said, the Father's got feelings. He's got feelings and he feels emotions and stuff. He has to be a person. The Father had so much feelings for us that he gave his only begotten Son to be shed and crucified that we can have life. You know, but I heard a Trinitarian preacher friend of mine, he said, man, let me tell you this. He said, the Father had feelings. He had to be a person. Thus saith the Lord, yea, and amen. And everybody said, amen, brother. That's what they did. That's foolish. The Father's not a person. The Father's never been a person. Amen? But the Spirit of the Father is invisible, and it came into visible. in the Word, made flesh, walked among men, fulfilled the course when man recognized who he was, took it to the cross and was smitten on the cross. The Spirit came out after the Spirit, Holy Spirit had been personified in the person, the Father, been personified in the person. He said, these two are one. You haven't seen the Father when Jesus went. Then the Spirit came forth and it came back to you and I, the many-membered body, the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is why be careful what we do to one another, because it's the same Spirit that walked in Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? It said it'll do greater things than what Jesus did. That's Bible, New Testament. That we, the sons of God, will do greater things than what Jesus done. You know why that's possible? Because he had to come and die. And when he died, he gave us forth the same Spirit. Now sins could be remitted, brother. The reason sins could be remitted now is because he took and abolished death at the cross of Calvary. And we bring the word of Jesus Christ back into the earth. And it's a many-membered body. And this is the greater things that we do. We're bringing the Holy Ghost to people that they can have life and life more abundantly. But he had to die. Jesus did. And now we're part of that many-member body. The greater thing we do is we're bringing life to people. He raised them from the dead. Lazarus had to die again. Amen? Raised them from the dead. Amen? The lepers, 10 of them, saved them from death sentence. Only one came back to worship him. But brother, what we give is eternal. We give eternal life because he gave it to us and commissioned us to go into all the world preaching the gospel, bringing good news and glad tidings unto men. Let's give him a hand, folks. Amen. Come about as far as we can tonight. How many like teaching? I like teaching, yes, sir. Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. If the Father was a person, then man would have understood him. But let me ask you about a spirit, the difference between a person and a spirit. I agree. You're right, and your thing's right. But let's talk about an omnipresent, potent God. I cannot as a person be inside Brother Cedric or Brother John. Okay? I can't do that. He said he's omnipresent, highest height, the deepest depth. He's over here right now. The Spirit of the Father is in Africa right now. And there's a guy speaking to him in Swahili. And he's understanding him perfectly well. He's over here hearing me speaking in English. And he's over in Japan. Another guy speaking to him in Japanese. And another guy speaking. He's omnipresent. That's the Spirit of the Father. Omnipresent everywhere. A person can't do that. But the Father can because he's Spirit. Amen. It's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from or where it goeth. That's the Spirit, the Father. But it personified itself in the Son that we as men could understand. We could see, perceive, we could hear and be indoctrinated. And we listened. And then the Spirit came forth out of that. And now it comes into the many-membered body, the body of Christ and who we are of. Amen. We're sons of God. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Let's give him one more hand. Amen. Man, it's 8:59. We done good. Amen. Let's all stand. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Brother Cedric, thank you for being part of our service tonight. Thank you for your questions. Amen. They were very good. They wasn't out of order by no means. The thing is, as I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. The thing is that when people start disputing, I'm a oneness, I'm a Trinitarian, they neither one have any Bible for that. I'm a son of God. That's what I got Bible for. I've been born again. I got Bible for that. Amen. Some say, well, I'm Calvinist. Some say I'm Arminian. You know, well, they got no Bible for that, but they have doctrines. The thing is, there's people splitting hair on doctrine, but Jesus said, if they preach any other doctrine than what I preach, he said, let them be accursed. And I'll tell you tonight, the Catholic Church is cursed because they believe that you could pray to Mary. They believe that she was the mother of God. He had no mother, brother. Amen. The Son of Man did, not the Son of God. We make them twain. Mary can't answer your prayers. Mary is not the mediator between God and man. Catholic Church teaches you could speak to Mary and she'll take your prayers to the Father. That's an abomination. Mary was a wonderful woman. She'll be testified through all the creation, brother. Beautiful sister had faith to believe and conceived of a seed. Amen. And brought forth our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I commend her, respect her, and honor her, but I don't worship her, and I don't pray to her. She doesn't have the power to take my prayers. There's only one mediator, the Bible said, between God and man, and that's Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the mediator. He is the door. He is the way. He is the life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is all things. All things were created by him, and all things were created by him. All things natural, physical, and spiritual, all thrones and powers and dominions, that Bible, were all created by Jesus. It's him, and it's him alone. He was in the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He was there in Isaiah, and you hear him being spoken of, our Lord and our Savior and our God. The Bible said one God. Is there any other beside him? There's only one God, brethren. There's only one God. There is no other God. It's our Lord and our Savior Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our King. He is our everything. Amen. And when we honor him, we honor the Father, because him and the Father are one. You see, there's no difference. When I was a Trinitarian, I think, well, Father, let me talk to you a second. Sir, I don't want to be rude to you, but can I talk to Jesus for a moment? Hey, I've talked to you for 7 minutes, and I talked to the Father for 4, but I'm going to go talk to the Holy Ghost for a minute. You know, I want to make sure I'm sharing equal time with you guys. See, that's foolishness, brother. Ain't no such thing. The Bible said one throne. One throne. There's only one throne, brother. If there was three-person God, there would be 3 thrones, brother. They'd have to all be honored and sit on 3 thrones. And you say, but wait a minute, preacher, I got you now. I got you now. I got you now, because the Bible said that Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. Doesn't it say that? Does that make him 3 persons? So when I get there to see him, is there going to be a lamb sitting there? We know there's not going to be a lamb there, but we know who the Lamb of God is. Was it the Lion of the tribe of Judah that's going to be sitting there? Or is it going to be a lamb there? You see, when we get in the book of Revelation, what is it speaking about? Right hand always designates authority. He came in the power of the Father. All power had been given unto him, and he sit at the right hand of the power. Amen. Amen. So, you know, you say, well, when Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up into heaven and he seen Jesus standing there with the Father. And I say, yea and amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's in me and I'm within the Father. And he went on to say, he said, I'm in you and you in me. You can't separate me from God. The Bible said there's nothing, nothing can separate us. Nothing could be laid to our charge. Amen. We've been hid away in Christ. He said, where he is, that's where we are also. Where's he at? He's in heaven. I've been hid away in Christ. I'm part of the many-membered body. Amen. I'm predestined in Christ. I'm living forever. I'm eternal. I cannot die because I passed from death to life. Jesus, the last thing he conquered was death. It's abolished. It's gone. Do you believe the word? I believe the word. Death is over. Death is abolished. What happens when granddaddy died? If then granddaddy was a son of God, he can't die. The only death he died was with Jesus at Calvary when they put him in a box and went to sleep with the forefathers. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Amen. We that are alive and which remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. Amen. Amen. Are you alive and remain? I'm alive and remain. Amen. Amen. And I've already been died. I've already been crucified in Christ. You say, are you dead in Christ? I've been buried with him, and I've been resurrected with him. I am a child of the resurrection. I'm a child of the King. How many here are the children of the resurrection? Amen. That's Bible. We're the children of the resurrection. Amen. We're the children of light. We're the light to the world. The world's in darkness, but we're the light. We bring light. What is light? Revelation, understanding. We bring light to this world. We're the children of light. Amen. Praise God. Why aren't you singing, brother? We're supposed to be closing. I'll preach all night. Y'all stand here and look at me. I'll preach at you all night, son. And I'll be happy. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.